peace.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34, 14. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalms 29, verse 11. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James chapter 3, verse 18. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. These things speak I unto you, that you might have peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. Not all wars are between nations. Besides these, there are various conflicts between individuals. There is not only enmity between man and man, there is also enmity between God and man. This enmity between God and man must be reconciled before any can have peace with God. Also, there exists battles, conflicts within ourselves. These also must be conquered before we can obtain the peace of God. Peace of mind and heart based upon the assurance that our Heavenly Father is caring for us and overruling all our experiences for our highest good is that which we all desire, because this assurance will dispel our doubts and our fears. And our gospel is a gospel of peace. But there are many shades of meaning as far as the word peace is concerned. Peace might mean cessation of armed conflict between nations. That, we know, is the desire of all people. But peace might also mean tranquility of mind, which is the desire of a troubled soul. Or it could mean rest and security to allay the fears of poverty or of dependence upon others during old age. Peace might mean unity and concord in business or family contacts. But to us, peace must also mean reconciliation with God, the peace which comes through being at one with God. Millions desire peace of heart, but only a few ever attain this happy state. Indeed, few have any knowledge as to how true peace can be attained. People have traveled around the world seeking peace. People have sought to have peace through the attainment of wealth or power or fame, thinking that through these they could find peace. Only in spite of money or in spite of influence with men, to find that that which they really wanted has eluded them completely. unrest and a troubled spirit is basically due to hunger for God. No one can have the peace of which the gospel speaks without communion with God. Man's inhumanity to man has caused countless wars throughout human history. Many honest men, great humanitarians, have tried to stop wars and to establish peace. All the efforts of man to establish peace have come to naught, as we well know. In God's due time, peace will come to this troubled world. In God's due time, wars will cease. But let us remember that God's promised peace on earth will come only by reconciling men to God. And that will be done only through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who will establish peace. He will, in His kingdom, establish peace by reconciling men to God. Even at birth, we were at enmity with God. Even at birth, we were under condemnation, born outside of communion with God, born requiring reconciliation, born requiring a Savior, a Redeemer. Only through Jesus Christ have we been able to find our way back to God. Only through Him have we been able to attain this beautiful relationship of what is termed in the Bible peace with God. Real peace was out of our reach as long as we were alienated from God. True peace, the peace of the gospel, is found only in fellowship with God, living not under condemnation, but partaking of the wells of salvation. We have been made right with God. We have been justified in His sight through faith and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of this, therefore, we have communion with God. The Bible says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." What a great truth is expressed here. God does not fellowship with an unconsecrated and sinful world, nor does God fellowship with unconsecrated and sinful men. God works with the unreconciled, whom He draws to Christ, but He fellowships only with the consecrated who have come into His presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence," by faith now and actually in the kingdom, "in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The theme of our sonship is peace with God. Through reconciliation, the peace which was lost in Eden is restored through Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, we read, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Only the consecrated, therefore, have the peace of reconciliation with God. In the following scriptures, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter develop the truth that our Heavenly Father is the God of peace only to those who have ceased to be at enmity with Him. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 36, we read, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth or reverences Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." And again, "that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 19, and in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 20, 21, and 22, he continues, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And the way of peace have they not known," he continues in Romans, the third chapter, verses 17 and then 24 through 26, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, that this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." In Romans, the fifth chapter and the first verse, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace," that is reconciliation, "we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not as it was by one that sinned," he continues in the 16th through the 18th verses of this same chapter, "not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 6, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And John, in John 5:24, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." These texts tell in the inspired words of the servants of God the beautiful story of peace with God, of condemnation versus justification, of separation through sin, and of reunion through righteousness. It is the story of enmity with God versus the peace of reconciliation through our consecration and through the robe of His righteousness. This peace with God, justification to life by faith and by divine approval, is the present inheritance of those who are in harmony with God. Truly, ours is a happy lot. Our inheritance also includes the peace of God. This relationship also is thrilling. Some take sleeping pills so that they can have rest at night, and some take tranquilizers so that they can have rest by day. But our subject of peace is neither the tranquility of tranquilizers nor the peace of barbiturates. In the world, there is unrest, nervousness, tension, frustration, confusion, all that. As we sometimes sing, here is no rest, here is no rest. Some seek peace in worldly substitutes, in self-sufficiency, possibly in business involvement. And it is so easy to become so completely involved in so many things. And some seek peace in other ways. But one by one, these learn that peace is not gained by either drugs or substitutes. Peace is far bigger, far greater than that. We have learned that the peace of God comes from knowing and trusting our Heavenly Father. A good physician knows that a peaceful attitude of mind may be better than all of his pills. A peaceful attitude of mind is good for physical health. We all know that. And a peaceful attitude of mind is good also for spiritual health. But we are talking about the peace of God, and not everyone can have that. To those who are at peace with God, the peace of God is a matter of simple ratio. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so forth, as we read. As we receive the Holy Spirit, we have peace. As we let the Holy Spirit of truth rule in our lives, we grow in an abundance of peace. Our peace of God does not depend on feeling nor upon circumstance. Our peace of God has a foundation. We know the plan of God. Therefore, we know of His goodness. We know how dependable He is. How wonderful is the text, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That is what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The question is, do we believe this? The devil will do everything possible to disturb our peace, which is based upon this assurance. There will be conflicts in our Christian life. There will be fighting within, and there may be battles without. Our peace will depend upon our ability to rest in God's promises, to rest in the faith and confidence that He will keep the promises made to those who are at peace with Him. The peace of God does not depend upon the smile of good fortune. The peace of God does not depend upon physical health or upon friendship nor upon the commendation of others. Let us not belittle these material good things. They are to us all very precious, valuable, helpful. But the peace of God does not depend upon them. That is the thought. We know this because we all have seen the peace of God abide in poverty. We have seen it abide in dire need, in ill health, and when friends have forsaken. Yes, we have seen some walk through the valley of the shadow of death, enjoying the peace of God. We have seen this peace look through tears and see the fruition of our hopes. This peace of God is His peace to those who are reconciled to Him. We have seen some in the world confronted by difficulties seek to find courage and strength in a bottle of alcohol. But we seek our courage and our strength in God. The child of God should have a sense of security. The peace of God gives this. We belong to the family of God. We are His children. Just as a child feels secure in his parents' ability to care for and protect him, so we also have the security of knowing, if God be for us, who then can be against us? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And that text in Romans 8:28 has been indeed a treasure to us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Here is another wonderful text of Scripture showing how the peace of God may rule in our hearts and in our lives. The keynote of this epistle is that we should have that spirit of pleasure in Christ. The Apostle Paul says that we should all be rejoicing Christians. We will quote a few verses to show what we mean. "Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy and faith. And again, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, of one mind. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is indeed not grievous, but for you it is safe." The Apostle says rejoice, and we will have the peace of God. Let your moderation be known. We will use a better word for moderation. Let your forbearance, let your gentleness be known unto all men. A better translation is, be anxious about nothing, but in your general prayers and in your special requests, have the spirit of thanksgiving and rejoicing. If we do this, the fruitage of our effort will be peace with God. The peace of God is your antidote for anxiety. And this peace of God passeth all understanding, all human reason in its power to relieve anxiety. This peace of God is a sentinel standing guard before the heart. It keeps our hearts and our thoughts free from anxious care. How is this done? We do not know, except that it is through Jesus Christ our Lord, except that it is through our faith in Him and our dependence upon the promises of God. He has promised us the same peace that sustained our Lord in His hours of need. Our Lord said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, But these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid, John says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. This is the peace of God, which surpasses human ability to understand. It is ours because it belongs to God's family. No wonder we feel secure. God is always at peace, undisturbed, unperplexed. We could not imagine him being otherwise. He has promised his peace and rest to us, provided we cease from our own works and are resigned to his will for us. Let us accept it in faith, believing it is the peace of God, because only God can give it through Jesus Christ our Lord and through his word of truth. It is the privilege of receiving from him his peace, the peace of God. But it is possible, is it possible in these nerve-strained bodies to attain peace of heart and mind, regardless of any and all external circumstances? Can we have this peace no matter what may worry us and regardless of what perplexities may arise in work or in home or in business? Can God's peace be ours even if we are slandered or persecuted, or if our motives are misunderstood? Can we, in spite of any or all of these, have a truly immovable peace? Our Lord says we can. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The root of so much of our weariness is not in our burdens, but in our adjustment to our burdens. Wrong attitudes in our hearts toward those with whom we live or work often create inner emotions that produce strains and rob us of our peace and fellowship. As long as we hold this wrong attitude, we will not enjoy God's peace. These burdens appear to be very real, even though most of them may be of our own making. Sometimes in this age of materialism, men put their trust in material things. Others put their trust in people. This, of course, is better than material things, but it is not enough. We must put our trust in God. Through faith, we must be able to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." We can have peace only if we have a good conscience toward God. No doubt on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Master heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," he felt secure. These words must have given him strength in days of trial. Peter, James, and John also were very close to God up there. They were filled with joy. They felt very secure. They had great peace. What a mountaintop experience it was. That is where that expression came from, by the way. And there are times when we also feel close to the Father. Let each day be a mountaintop experience for us. For if we live close to him, no storm can shake our inmost calm. We know that it is possible to enjoy this calm. We have heard the testimony of brethren who have suffered the loss of their health, who have looked the grim reaper squarely in the face, and yet who have, some of them, through years of suffering, kept the peace of God in their hearts. They have learned the secret of peace. They have lived close to God, and God is near to them. His infinite power, beyond human comprehension, gives them peace in the realization that he knows, that he loves, and that he cares. In those who have this assurance, pain and peace can live together. The Lord knows what our cup contains. He knows it because he is the one who has poured it for us. We have a spiritual anchorage that holds us close to God even through the storms of life. So, if we would have the treasure of peace with God, let us also live close to Him and put complete trust in Him and in His providences for our growth and blessing, that the peace of God may also be our portion. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so, my brethren, may we have peace with God, may we enjoy the peace of God, and may we be at peace.